Undisputed Politics podcast is hosted by Robert Wilson Jr., a young Black gay activist from the Mississippi Delta. He started this podcast to share his raw and unfiltered opinions on issues around the world. Grab a glass of wine and tune into the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or any other major streaming platforms. And let's get into what's happening all around us. The show starts now.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Undisputed Politics podcast with your boy Robert Wilson, and we are back with another episode. On today's episode, we'll be discussing education in America, and we'll be discussing a few different things in regards to education in America. And I have two guests with me today. One of them I've known for a little while. We went to college together, and I'll allow her to introduce herself. So, Kiara, can you kind of introduce yourself to the audience, tell them where you're from, what college you went to, and whatever else you would like them to know about you?
Okay, sure. My name is Kiara. I'm originally from Greenwood, Mississippi. I attended Mississippi University for Women for my bachelor's, and then I attended Mississippi Valley State for my master's.
Definitely. Thank you for joining today's episode, and I look forward to having the conversation with you today. Next, we have Ms. Nakesia, and I know her just through the community, and I also think we went to school together a little bit at Greenwood High School, so I'll allow Nakesia to introduce herself as well.
My name is Nakesia Bell. I am from Greenwood, Mississippi, and I currently attend Mississippi Valley State University, getting my mathematics education degree.
Awesome, awesome, and thank you for joining the conversation today as well. So we'll just jump right in with our first topic tonight. Joe Biden has announced that he will be forgiving student loans, and for people who tuned into the show, I've been talking about the Biden administration for the longest and pretty much my disappointment in some of the things that have come out of the administration. And over recent weeks, things have gotten a little bit better. We have the Inflation Reduction Act that was passed. Gas prices are going down a little bit. So things are kind of looking a little bit better. But I'm really excited about the plan that was announced today. So Biden has announced that he will be forgiving $20,000 in student loan debt for students who have went to school, and pretty much if you use Pell Grant funds and use the federal government loans, subsidized, unsubsidized loans, and also $10,000 will be forgiven for students who didn't utilize Pell Grants. And it'll apply to those who earn less than $125,000 a year. So they kind of go against the argument that a lot of people are trying to push out today on the Republican side of things, that are trying to say, oh, this is going to help the rich and different things like that, because most people aren't making $125,000 a year. So I know me and Kiara went to the Mississippi University for Women, and a lot of my student loans came during the small time that I was there, and I've only racked up about $9,000 in student loans. So the fact that this is going to help me out tremendously, because it'll forgive pretty much my entire student loan debt. So I want to kind of get Kiara's input on that, seeing that we went to a school like the W that required us to take out a lot of loans and different things like that. So what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I actually think it's a good thing, because, you know, no one wants to really be in any kind of debt, and we see a lot of debt going on right now, especially in America. I think most people are looking at the fact that some don't fit into either of those categories of getting their student loan debt canceled. you know, there still will be some student loan debt because $20,000, most people are in debt more than $20,000, $10,000, you know. But any little cancellation of student debt is good. That's still a weight being lifted. But I think people are so focused on, well, I don't fit into this category and I'm struggling, so you should struggle just like I'm struggling. So basically not wanting people to, you know, basically not wanting people to experience something that they're not experiencing. But
yeah,
that's
really crazy to me.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's not saying that it's just a, oh my goodness, you know, this is huge, but it's a start to actually, you know, it's a step in the right direction. You know, of course, we know that they're not going to just say, okay, let's cancel like every, like, let's cancel all of student debt, because we know they're not going to do that. But it's definitely a step in the right direction, because everybody can't afford, you know, all of the debt that they're in, especially with the interest rates and everything.
Yeah, definitely. And with me personally, in 2020, I was not one of those Joe Biden people. I had like three different candidates that I eventually ended up voting for Elizabeth Warren because she was still on the ballot in Mississippi. But I just wasn't here for Joe Biden. And so for me, the small things that we're getting from him, I accept that we're getting these small things because this is who Joe Biden is. And so we knew who he was when we elected him. And so some people are wanting him to do more and different things like that, which I understand, but it's like we knew what we was going to get when we elected him. So I'm not really upset to the point where I'm like, oh, well, he just has to do more and things like that. He does have to do more, but it's like we knew we was getting this when we elected him. So that's just how I feel about it. I want to bring Nankisa in and get her thoughts on it.
So, from a standpoint of me, I don't have any loans. I actually got a four scholarship. So, like, I don't have any loans personally, but from looking at my friends, I think this is going to help, but there's also, like, that point in time where you're waiting for that catch to happen. Like, what's going to be the catch for getting these loans forgiven? Because it's going to be something on down the line. Just like prices have increased like dramatically within the last few months. We know just like how we got that little economic check, that's when prices really just spiked up. So what's going to happen with this loan forgiveness? Are prices spiking up even more? So I'm kind of just like waiting for like what's the catch that's going to come in with this loan forgiveness.
Yeah. And that's something that a lot of people are worried about. Particularly, a lot of people are saying things like, oh, well, you know, it'll increase the way that a lot of these companies go about their interest rates and different things like that. And for me personally, I care about those things, but at the same time, I'm like, well, you know, that's not really the fault of the government that these private companies, because a lot of these loan companies are private companies, particularly unless you're getting, like, for instance, a lot of the forgiveness that will be coming out of this particular plan, especially with the people that will be getting 20,000 of their loans forgiven are people who got government loans, which were like the unsubsidized and the subsidized loans through the Pell Grant program. But a lot of the companies are like private companies that pretty much are scamming people pretty much. It's like, you know, I saw a post on Facebook where this lady was saying she took out a student loan and every month she's been paying she's paid like $200, but her loan was like $40,000. And now she's only down to like $27,000 or something like that. But pretty much she's been paying $200 every month, and all she's been paying that $200 is paying on the interest. And so things like that, I think there definitely needs to be more regulation around it to get these companies to pretty much not scam people. And so that's just my thoughts on it.
Definitely. that also falls back on, like, the education deal of it, too. You have to not only, like, educate high school students, but college students as well, like, the difference between these unsubsidized and subsidized loans before they know what they're just getting into. Because right then and there, I mean, as a college student myself, I'm just looking at the refund check, and I'm pretty sure that's probably what they're
And that's that. Well, I'm glad you said that, because that's like I said, I only have like $9,000 in student loan debt, but most of it came from me just like wanting the most refund I could get when I was in school, because I was at the W only like 3 semesters, and pretty much every semester when the refund time came around, I was like, oh, man, I want some more refund money. How am I going to get my refund money? Like, because the W was, it wasn't expensive, but it was a pretty decent school financial-wise to go to. And so we really didn't have to take out that much in student loans. But I was like, I'm going to get a good refund, so I'm going to take out me a loan. Which, like you said, in high school, we really didn't get that education to be like, okay, you know, you're taking out all these loans, it's going to hit you in the face later on. For me, it was just like, okay, well, you know, I got to pay for it anyway, so let me just take out this loan. But, like, now as I've gotten older and I look back on it, that was probably one of the worst decisions I could have made when I was in school, because I did end up accruing all this loan debt that I have to pay back. But now that Biden has announced this plan, that probably won't be too much of a problem. But if this plan, if it hasn't been for the coronavirus pandemic, and now Biden is coming out with this plan to eliminate the student debt, I would probably be upset that I went to college and spent 3 semesters wasting time and taking up all that loan debt.
Definitely.
That's my thoughts on that. Like I said, I'm glad that it's happening. I'm glad that we're getting some movement on it. It's not what everybody wanted. There are some people who wanted him to forgive all student loan debt. And for me, I personally don't see that ever happening. Just looking at the political landscape of America, like, you have people upset right now that he's forgiven $20,000 and $10,000 worth of student loan debt. So you can imagine the uproar it would cause if he were to forgive all student loan debt. So, do you guys have any thoughts? I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying I definitely cannot see that happening. Forgiving the whole student loan debt, I just can't see it happening. Like you said, from a political standpoint, definitely can't see that happening.
I mean, then even with like the $20,000 and the $10,000 that he's doing, I think I'm not sure the date, but I think I read that the loans are even like for people who are currently enrolled in school that have taken out loans. It has to be that they have taken out loans before, like, January of 2022. So, if you had loans before this particular year. And so, for me, it's like, okay, what is going to happen with the kids and the students who are in school now? You know, people that are going to school now and then people that are going to be going to school going forward, they're still going to end up with student loans. So, it's like, there has to be some other legislation to go along with this to kind of offset the fact that, like I said, a lot of these companies, and even particularly with the federal government as well, they have all these high interest rates and different things like that. So it definitely has to be more legislation. But like I said, this is just a good start.
Yeah. In the right
direction. So moving along, Kiara, you went to the W, which is a PWI, and I know that Nakesia also went to Mississippi Valley. Did you go to the Valley? Did I get that correct? Yeah, you went to Valley, and Kiara also went to Valley. Valley is HBCU, which is right up the road from us in Greenwood, Mississippi, which is in Edabena. Most people think Valley's in Greenwood, but it's in Edabena. and pretty much, I wanted to talk about the debate that a lot of people have between, like, the HBCU experience and the PWI experience. For me, When I was in high school, I went to several different programs throughout the different summers. When I was in high school, the first summer program I ever went to was Upward Bound, which was at Mississippi Valley State, and I went there for the summer, and then I went to, like, the classes that we would have throughout the school year, and I really enjoyed it, but each summer I wanted to have different experiences. So other summers, one summer I went to Alcorn, and another summer I went to Old Miss, and I also went to a program one summer at Mississippi State. So I got the experience throughout high school to go to different colleges, both PWIs and HBCUs, and it kind of influenced the decision that I ultimately made, which was to go to the W. Even though I didn't graduate there, I really enjoyed the experience there, and part of the reason why I decided to go to the W was, one, it's a very small college, so it was really intimate as far as knowing to teach the professors and teachers and the staff and things like that. And it was also a space where I felt like, as a gay man, I would be welcome and accepted. And I know it's not the experience for everybody. Everybody has different experiences. Just speaking from my experience, when I attended the HBCUs that I had attended during the summer, I didn't get the same welcoming experience that I got when I went to schools like Ole Miss and Mississippi State. So that was the reason why I made my decision. And I guess I want to kind of bring you two in on, you know, how did you guys make the decision to attend the schools that you attended?
I did Upward Bound as well as a program. I even got to teach at Upward Bound. So, how did I put this in? I got $50,000 worth of scholarship money before leaving high school. So I had the opportunity to choose between HBCUs and PWIs. There's nothing wrong with a PWI. I mean, people have their say-so and going for it. And, you know, I, like, you know, support them in all differences. But at some point in time, I feel like at a PWI, it's like you just pick a number. And, like, it's now like, okay, now you're a part of that minority number that we need. Because PWI, just like the HBCU, has to have a minority number, regardless of it. That's, like, that's how they're getting their federal money. And I just felt like at an HBCU, I would see more of myself and more representation of myself and, like, more differences that I could make at an HBCU than I could have at a PWI, whether they're looking at me like that number of minority that they need. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, I kind of had this same thought and experience when I chose a PWI, which is why me personally, and I'll kind of get into it later on in this particular discussion on this particular topic, but I kind of feel like the argument is just like a crazy argument. I mean, college is college. And so I don't really understand why some people kind of get, like, extremely worked up over it, because I'm like, okay, college is college. I mean, it is what it is.
I don't know if you know, but the W really wasn't my first choice, honestly. I honestly picked the HBCU the first time around. I think, how long was I there? Probably a semester, if that long. I went to Tennessee State. And it was different, probably because I wasn't, you know, at home and it was like new surroundings until I just decided I'm going to go back home. But my initial thought after getting out of high school and everything was, do not go to Valley. I don't want to be anywhere close to home. You know, you try to go as far away as possible. But
yeah, and that was also a part of my decision as well. I was like, I'm not going nowhere close to my house. And Columbus was like the furthest way I could get away from my family without getting too far.
Yes, it was like the perfect distance. And, you know, W also made it easier for me because, you know, they offered me scholarships. So I was like, okay, you know, I didn't get any scholarships applying to any HBCUs. I got scholarships applying to the W. So I was like, okay, that makes my decision easier. And my experiences for, you know, a HBCU and a PWI was different. Of course, you know, you go to a PWI and you being a minority, it feels like things are being forced, like they're trying to, like, force include you. You know how you seem like, you know, they're doing this for, I don't know.
I definitely remember those parties at the W where they would just play, like, certain songs, and I'd be like, okay, like, all right.
And, like, don't get me wrong, I love the W, you know what I'm saying? I love it. But, like, it sometimes it just did not feel genuine. And, you know, while there, being a minority on that campus, you know, I did come into, like, maybe, like, one or two instances where, like, you know, there was, like, conflict between, you know, white counterparts because they felt like they were superior or, you know, they were just smarter. But then get to Valley, and it was just, it just seems like the school is good. You know, education is amazing, you know, depending on what it is. But it just felt like the effort, like, you know, you're an HBCU, you should feel as though, you know, you should put in a lot of effort. But I felt like the effort wasn't there just because, you know, you are a black, you know, an HBCU with, you know, black kids there. But, like, when trying to, like, go to, like, authority and anything like that, it just seems like the effort isn't placed on the students itself. It just seems like a money grab most times. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's I think that's one of Valley's biggest problems because they aren't as funded as Alcorn or as Jackson State is. And so most of the things that they do seems like they're money hungry because at this point they really are.
Mm-hmm.
In terms, like, they are money hungry because they literally need it. And so I get where you're coming from when it comes to Valley as an HBCU, and I feel like that's a problem that they have to fix, like, inside before it becomes, like, so much of an outside problem that they start to lose enrollment. But also, again, with that, like, each school has its problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Valley's become more surface because more people are talking about it because, like, now it's not so much of an issue with your students, it's your faculty as well because you're so money hungry, you're pulling from your faculty.
Yeah. And most of, like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like just piggybacking off of what Nakisi was saying about how, you know, each school has its problems. That's why I was saying, me personally, I feel like the people who get, like, extremely worked up over PWIs and HBCUs, I feel like it's just a really crazy argument altogether from both sides because it's like an education is an education no matter where you get it from.
And I think it's the fact that now it's become where it's all about, you know, minorities, like black people are like come like black everything, black, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's the fact that it's to a point where, well, you shouldn't go to a PWI. You should go to a black college. These, you know, the HBCUs need the money. Don't put your money into it. But if this PWI is treating me better than you're treating me, I'm going to go where I'm being treated nicely and where my education and where I'm seen as being important. Not saying that an HBCU doesn't do that, but if your interest doesn't lie with that HBCU and it lies with a PWI, what's the problem? You're still getting an education. It doesn't mean you don't support HBCUs. It's just that your interest aligns somewhere else.
And I'm glad you even brought that up because, like, one, I was very defiant. I'll say that. When I was in high school, I was very defiant. Like, I always wanted to go against it because I had, like, a really wishy-washy relationship when it came down to, like, my family and people that were close to me because I was a gay man. And so I struggled a little bit as far as my sexuality and different things. And so one of the reasons why I did, it wasn't the major, I'll say this was probably, if I had 10 reasons on why I went to a PWI with number 1 being the strongest and 10 being the lowest, this would probably be like the number 10 reason why I went. But most of the one of the reasons why I did go was because I wanted to be defiant against, like, some of the church members that I had, because the church that I was going to, a lot of people who graduated from Valley and who were alumni of Valley went there, and so a lot, they kind of influenced a lot of the students who were at the church at the time to go to PWIs, and so, I mean, to HBCUs, and so for me, I was like, well, I want to be different. I'm going to go somewhere else, and when I decided to go to the W, I remember one of my church members, and I told this story a million times on Facebook, about how one of my church members, when I did decide to go to the W, she was like, well, we're not going to give you any money to go to those white people's school and different things like that. And so that, for me personally, being that I was somebody that liked to be defiant and liked to go against different things, that kind of pushed me more to go to the W, because I was like, okay, well, they said they're not going to give me no money, so I'm going to go so I can prove to them that it ain't nothing wrong with these white people's school. And so there are people out there who are also like that. I feel like there are some people out there who, you know, when it comes down to different schools and different things like that, there are people in their life trying to influence them to go a different route, and they just like, okay, well, let me go see what this experience is like just because I want to go see so I can prove somebody else wrong. And so I feel like that's also a part of the discussion.
I definitely force someone to do something, is just going to be like, make them not want to do it even more. Because, yeah, I know, you know, going to Greenwood High, they always say Valley, focus on Valley. But then in my head, I'm like, I don't want to go to talk with these kids I've been growing up with my entire life. And, you know, if you go anywhere else, like you said, they was like, we're not going to give you any money, we're not going to do this. But why would I want to go here? You know, I'm trying to experience new things, and I feel like if I go here with everybody I know, then I'm just not going to be on track. I already know it. So I definitely get what you're saying about, let me go to this school to see what they're talking about. Let me use their funding and their education system to get me to where I need to be.
I agree with that, with different education leveling out with different colleges. Because, like, Jackson State almost won me over with their math department. But I stayed close to home. I came back to Valley. And I was just like, if I want to see this implemented, like, I have to implement it starting at home and maybe can reach out. Because Valley is going to be that far away place from home for somebody. So the programs have to be there for them to even look into Valley and be like, it's an option. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And that, for me, that's one of the reasons why I ended up leaving the W, is because, like you brought up, like, the programs. And one of the reasons why I initially went to the W, and I was majoring in music education. And when I got to the W, I was somebody, I like instruments. I do not sing. Kiara knows this, I do not sing. Robert is not a singer. And so when I went to the W, one of the main things that their music department was focused on was the arts of, like, choral singing and different, you know, vocal and different things like that. And so once I got there, it was kind of out of place for me because I'm not a singer. And so, like, after the first semester, I ended up changing my major. And I feel like if I had went to an HBCU, I probably would have had a better experience with that, because I would have went to a school that was more than likely like a Valley or, you know, a Jackson State or something like that, that would have a music program that would be more tailored to what I'm actually interested in. But at the time when I was, like I said, when I went to college, there were several different things that influenced me to go to the W, and my major wasn't really one of the major things that influenced me to go to the W. I was like, oh, well, they have a music program, so I'll be all right. And then once I got there and I realized, I'm like, oh, crap. And so I think that a lot of that influences the conversation a little bit as well about how students once while they're in high school, researching the different schools that they go to, making sure that the majors and the programs at these schools align with the things that they want to do as far as their education. And I think that a lot of times some HBCUs don't necessarily have the programs or don't necessarily have the majors that people are looking forward to, and so that kind of influences the decisions as well. I think that kind of concludes a little bit on this particular topic, and we'll kind of transition into like the next topic, which is, like I said, school has just started back, and so college campuses are being filled with students again, and COVID is over, so a lot of schools are opening fully back up instead of being in more of the virtual space. And so I want to kind of talk about the topic of, is college really worth it? I know that you two are I know Kiara's working, she's got her master's, and I'm not sure if Nankisia has gone back to get a master's, but I know both of you guys have your degrees. And for me, I dropped out of school, and I'm not going to say it's the worst decision that I've ever made, but it's something that I regret sometimes, and sometimes I'm okay with it. For the most part, on most days and in most occasions, I'm okay with it because now I found a career that I'm actually enjoying and that I feel like I'm doing well in. But it's a question that, if college really worth it, was a question that a lot of people ask themselves when they're leaving out of high, getting ready to graduate high school, and even people who are currently enrolled in college. And sometimes people aren't struggling, and sometimes people aren't struggling. They still ask themselves the question, is it really worth it? So I wanted to kind of get you guys' input on that.
Okay. I'm on both sides. Because I can see both sides. Yes. If you're going, you know, medical nurses, doctors, and even then, you know, some things that people want to do, you don't necessarily need a degree for. If that makes sense, like smaller. I want smaller degrees because a degree is a degree, but like. Just degrees that aren't like nursing, lawyers, and things like that. Yes, you of course go to school for it. But I got bachelor's in psychology because, you know, I was looking at the bigger thing and not necessarily what am I gonna do when I get this bachelor's degree? Like, where am I gonna work when I get this degree? And it was like, okay, now I need to do something else. I need to, you know, go and get my master's. So when I was so focused on just school, and I really had no like work experience, because like this is like my real actual first job. Not ashamed to say it, because I was so focused on school but being kind of amateur. And you got all these degrees behind your name, all these titles or whatever, credentials, and you have no work experience to back it up, and a job wants you to have that experience. And some kids or some people aren't, you know, they can't work and go to school. You know, they just don't have that type of time to do both of those. So you have these degrees, but you have no work experience to back up those degrees. And yes, it is worth it. The college experiences, you know, for the experience, you know, you get sociable with people, you get make connections, you know, you get out of college, and there are connections you've made that will put you in a position to where you can, you know, get those jobs, or you can, you know, meet other people who will put you in those places. So I'm on just both sides of the field because, you know, just speaking from my own personal standpoint, it was either a hit or a miss for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. Like I said, now for me, like you said, the only thing that I regret when it comes down to me dropping out of college was the experience, because I do feel like I really missed out on a lot of great experiences and a lot of the connections and the networking. But outside of that, particularly since like the last major, I changed my major a few times when I was in college, and the last major that I was majoring in was communications. And for me, I'm very tech savvy. If you like, just looking at how I put together this podcast and I edit my podcast myself and all these different things. And I've also worked in communications positions for different political campaigns and different things like that. And so for me, I just felt like the communication degree was not worth me staying in school. And so now, like, my utilizing a few of the things that I learned when I was majoring in communications, but most of it is just things that I know myself, and I've been able to create sort of a career in that as well without having the degree. But now, like I said, I'm more content with the fact that I dropped out of school, because like over the last year, I've been gaining more of a trade. Because I'm a cake decorator, and outside of doing politics and different things like that. And so there's something that I'm able to do on my own as an entrepreneur, as well as for the company that I work for. And so I don't need a degree to do that. And I really enjoy the career that I'm in. And so that's why I say I feel like it's worth it, but it's not worth it. It depends on what you're looking for and when you're coming out of high school, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I think worth is basically what you feel it is. Is it worth it to you? Because just because it's worth it to you doesn't mean it's worth it to somebody else. And just because it's worth it to somebody else doesn't mean it's worth it to you. So I definitely, can see that and understand that.
To add to career-wise, we live in a world now that it's not what you know, it's who you know. I mean, you can have 5 degrees behind you, but if little cousin JoJo needs a job and he can sit there and flip some pages, little JoJo gonna get that job.
Period.
People who, work for the degree, get the hours, going internship, staying up 5 hours past, time for you to get your rest properly, quote unquote, and little John John, who barely got a high school degree, is able to get their job for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's nothing that you can do within the world to change that. And with the whole big word, networking, I joined a sorority at Mississippi Valley State University. And I feel like I honestly can have the networking that I need to with the sorority, but now that I'm in it and I see how networking works, I don't want to get in a position just because I know this person from such and such. I want to feel like I earned the job. But when you live in a world where it's like you got to know somebody to know somebody, then you got to use everything you got to your advantage, which isn't, a privilege. It's more of an option, sort of thing. That makes sense. But you having to change so many career options to even find out what you want, I feel like that's a big problem too. That's a lot of reasons why people don't want to go to college, because they are scared to go and sit a semester and see if they like this subject, or go and sit another semester and see it. They're afraid, because it goes back to student loans. But also, they're afraid to sit in the classroom and feel like they failed because they have to change a major. So that's what's leading them into thinking, college's not even worth it. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to drop out anyway. So I agree with both sides. College is important. College is not important. But I also believe, it takes that person to be dedicated to not only network, but to go out and experience things on their own to understand who they are as a person, to know what they want as a person.
And I'm glad you kind of mentioned that last part, because me personally, I don't mind telling my story and, you know, my experiences. And part of the reason why I did drop out of college was because I just pretty much had begun to, like, fail classes, because there was a lot of classes that I was just not interested in. It was like I'm sitting in this class and it's like, I don't really want to be in here. So I would just, like, skip class. And then there would be other classes where I'm just like, okay, I'm majoring in communication, so I don't understand why I'm sitting in a biology class when I don't really need to know much about biology to be able to do some of the things that I personally want to do as far as communications. And so I just, like you said, a lot of kids go into college and they don't really know what they want to do. And so once they get there, and then you pretty much are like, a lot of colleges force you to pick a major. Once you get there, you have to pick a major, and then, like, you get into that major or you see the classes that come along with that major, sometimes it becomes a stressor for some people, and then it's just like, okay, well, you know, I don't feel like this is really worth it. And that was part of my experience.
Yeah, most people are just now learning who they are at that time. So to give them, like, the big decision of, okay, so what are you going to do? Most people don't know what they want to do because they haven't just, you know, they haven't touched on those areas. So but, you know, from a personal standpoint, I knew what I wanted to do. I was like, yeah, I want to talk to people, you know. Coming from somewhere where talking about problems wasn't, you know, something that was just this big thing, I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. But somebody else might not have that privilege of knowing what it is that they exactly want to do.
And then you also have people like myself. I'm a multi-talented person. And so it's never just like one thing that I want to do. I'm always like, oh, well, like right now I'm primarily focused on, like, doing my podcast. And then, like I said, in my career, I do cake decorating. And I'm not really as much into politics as I used to be. I used to do a lot of community work and different things like that, and I don't really do that now because the passion for it just fell off. But, like, a lot of people go to school for political science and different things like that. And so for me, it's just like, there are people out there who are just multi-talented, and once they do get to college, they can't just pick one specific thing to get a degree on their particular talent.
One thing I hate that they pull from high school is career day, where you can go and step into the feet of these actual people and see, like, what it is that you want to do. But with career day, you have people who are jealous hearted, people who've been in that seat for 15 years, and they're like, nah, this black guy ain't going to come here 4 years with a degree and just take my job. But then you have those greedy people that, you know, like, affect your decision-making as well. And then another thing, like, I recently had a friend who, like, he was so dedicated to becoming a football coach. And, like, one day I sat down and I was just like, why are you so dedicated to becoming a football coach? And he was like, just to prove my mastery, like, just to prove I'm a man. And so at that point I was like, are you questioning, like, your sexuality? Are you trying to prove to yourself, like that you're not gay? And so that also comes into line with you being openly gay. Takes it to a whole nother level, because you, like, you're defining yourself and you're still proud of yourself. You know that you're moving along in different patterns, and you know, like, what makes you happy. But you have other people who, like, have, like, fathers who are like, no, this is your path that you're going, and this is the path that you have to take. So it's still people sitting in college that are, like, not even satisfied with life and just doing it to prove a point, than rather, like, doing it because they love it. That makes sense.
Yeah, and I definitely understand that. I had a lot of different experiences when I was in college. I went through a lot of emotions within 3 semesters. I can admit that much. And one of the reasons why I was in college was because, you know, for me, I graduated on the front row of my graduation. And so I felt like I was, like, super smart. I was like, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get this degree. And I was, at the time, I was going to be the first person in my family to get a college degree. And so I was like, I'm going to go do this for the family. But, like you said, there are people who get there, and, you know, for me, it didn't really affect me as much until once I actually dropped out. And so I did try to go back, like, 2 or 3 times before I went to Community College, MDCC, which is also right up the road from Greenwood. I went to MDCC for like two semesters, and I just wasn't feeling it. And so that's how I just finally came to the conclusion that, you know what, maybe, Robert, you know, college just isn't the route that you want to take to be successful in life. But I get that, you know, like you said, some people may get there, you know, the mental aspect of, oh, I have to finish college for somebody, or I have to finish college to prove this particular point in life, different things like that.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that, especially, you know, personally, you know, coming from a Black family, it's always like, well, you need to go to college, you need to do this, you need to do that. And like you said, I feel like I'm pretty smart, you know, things like that. So college was something that I wanted to do, but it felt more so forced than anything. And so I was like, okay, I gotta go to school. I need to make everybody happy. I need to make everybody proud. I need to do this. I need to do that. And so, like you, you know, first person to get their degree, but it's like, did I do it for them or did I do it for me? So at that time, it was like, okay, I feel like I'm doing this for everybody else. I'm not really happy. Even though it was what I wanted to do, it was just like, I feel like I'm being forced into doing something that I want to do, if that makes sense. So once I decided to get, like, my shoes and everything, it's like, okay, this is personal. It's for me. It's not for anybody. If I fail at it, cool, you know. But I'm doing it for me because this is what I want to do. But, like, once people are forcing, like, do this, do this, do this, it doesn't seem like it's for you anymore. It just seems like I'm doing this just because. And there are so many mental challenges that you're facing behind the scenes that nobody, like, you know, they only see you doing this, or they only see you failing at that, but they don't see that the mental aspect behind it is, like, really taking you on some type of roller coaster that you're on. So I think that most kids are now, like, at a point where, well, I want to go to college and I want to experience this, 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 and this, because they don't know what they want or who they are. So they go there to just experience and get that feel of, you know, of life, basically, like a little bit of this is what reality is.
Yeah, and, like, for me, like, when I dropped out of college, I did, like, the first few months after I dropped out, I was, like, really depressed about it. I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, my family expected me to go, and I was going to be the first one to graduate college and get my degree. And so I feel like I failed the whole family. And then, like I've said previously, like, I'm being an openly gay man. And so being from a Black family, especially living in Mississippi, you know, I already kind of felt, like, the pressure of, oh, you know, you about here being gay, and then also piling on to it, now you done dropped out of college. And so I did kind of feel bad, like, the first few months, but like I said, after a while, I kind of understood that, you know, college was something that a decision that I had to make for myself. And so I did attempt to go back to, like I said, a community college and kind of see, was it something that I could do just doing it on the basis of, oh, I'm going to do it for myself. And like I said, after two semesters, I was just like, it's not what I want to do. Most of it for me is just the fact that I'm an impatient person. And like I said, I'm multi-talented, so I like to do multiple things. And when I was in college, even like the first go around, it was more so, I want my degree right now. Like, I want my degree right now. I don't feel like I got to go take all these crazy biology courses and all this other stuff to major in communications and all this other stuff. Just give me my degree right now. And so I was very impatient, and I hated going to class and different things like that. And that's even my problem now. And one of the reasons why I haven't decided to go back is because I know how impatient I am. Because it's like, I don't want to sit in no class for no two, three semesters. I want my degree right now. And so that's one reason why I haven't gone back. And so I definitely understand both sides of it, who say it is worth it and some people who say it's not worth it. For me, I lean more towards 75-25, 75 being that it's not worth it and 25 being that it is, like I said, for like some people to experience and different things like that. But I also feel like you can get that without going to college. So That's why I lean the way I lean on it.
Definitely.
So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Undisputed Politics podcast with Robert Wilson Jr. And on the last segment of the show, we'll be discussing something that doesn't really, it deals with education, but it doesn't really deal with education. We're going to talk about entrepreneurship and employment, and the debate around, you know, should you quit your job to become an entrepreneur?
Have you lost your right to vote due to a criminal conviction? 1 in 10 people in Mississippi are unable to vote because of a felony conviction. In 2020, Mississippi had the second highest incarceration rate in the country, with members of the Black community making up 60% of those who can't vote. But there are organizations fighting back. One Voice and Mississippi Votes are committed to helping people regain their voting rights. Call 1-888-601-8683 to take your power back.
We need to send a very big message to the federal government that we're not going to take this anymore. We need to fire the federal government.
Interesting idea. Maybe it's a good idea. Of course, 42% of Arizona's budget comes from the federal government, so that would require a 72% increase in state taxes to fill the gap. You got that kind of money? No more Social Security checks. No more Medicare. Luke Air Force Base? Gone. In fact, say goodbye to most of the Air Force, Army, Marine bases all over the state. Arizona students would need to figure something else out because federal student aid would have to go. And sadly, all the national parks, including the Grand Canyon, well, they'd have to close. And we'd also lose all of our air traffic controllers, which sounds fun. But hey, drug traffickers would be happy. There wouldn't be a DEA in the state anymore.
We need to fire the federal government.
Right now, Carrie Lake is just a kook with crazy ideas. But if Arizona elects her for governor, her crazy ideas could crush Arizona's economy, raise our taxes, make our communities less safe, and turn Arizona into a national joke. Does this still sound like a good idea?
We're back on this episode of the Undisputed Politics with Robert Wilson Jr. So like I said before the break, on this last topic that we're going to talk about, it's about entrepreneurship. And I wanted to talk about this because I did see a Facebook post on Facebook, and let me see if I can pull it up. Pretty much the guy was like, and I don't know if you guys did a little research on the podcast, but we say cuss words for things over here on the podcast, so we're very unfiltered. But pretty much the guy said, fuck a job, we're trying to be entrepreneurs. And I shared the post, and I also commented on the original post, and what I wanted to bring into the discussion was, I feel like not everybody wants to be, and not everybody can be an entrepreneur. Some people are more fit for the 9-to-5 life, particularly people who, like myself, like I said, I'm multi-talented, so I do a lot of different things. And like I said, right now I'm really enjoying cake decorating. I love it. I love being able to create different things just based off of what people bring to me. So people bring ideas to me often, and I'm like, oh well, I can put that into a cake. And so that's something that I enjoy doing. And I could take that, and like I said, I can work for a corporation, or I could work on my own as an entrepreneur. But I choose to work for the corporation that I'm working for. I work at a grocery store, and I choose to work there because I just like the thought of being able to have people be able to see my coworkers every day, and also being able to see the customers and just enjoying their atmosphere. So for me, I'm not necessarily one that wants to be an entrepreneur. And like I said, I enjoy that aspect of being a 9-to-5 worker, if that's what you want to call it. And so I want to kind of bring you two in on the conversation and get your thoughts on, do you feel like people should, like we're in this time in this day and age where a lot of people feel like they have to go into entrepreneurship because they don't want to work their 9-to-5 job, or, they feel like jobs aren't being fair as far as wages and different things like that. So what are you guys' thoughts?
The spirit of entrepreneurship is definitely heavy. Speaking, everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, but like you said, everybody, doesn't have that niche for to be an entrepreneur. And like you said, I can do a little bit of everything, multi-talented, but I know me being me, you can learn to be, you can learn how to run a business, you can learn how to do all of that, but it's not an either-or type of thing. If you want to work while, on your own business, you can definitely do that. But I wouldn't say that, hey, let me just, I don't know nothing about business. I don't know what I'm going to do, but let me just quit my job so I can just start on this business. But you don't have any type of plan to put forth to, what you want to do. So I wouldn't necessarily say, let me go quit my job, but I don't know what I want to do. If that makes sense, like there should be some type of plan behind it. And, anybody can be an entrepreneur. You can learn, that's all. It's out there. There's knowledge out there. You can learn how to run your own business. You can learn how to do everything. All of the knowledge is out there for you to grasp and gain, but you still have to have a plan behind what you're doing. And like you said, I'm not good at, I wouldn't say I can't do it, but I don't think I have the patience to run a business. or to be honest.
Yeah, like for me, I'm not the sit down and do paperwork type of person. Like, I'm a great leader, and I've gotten that from a lot of people who say I'm a good leader. So I definitely feel like I can lead a group of people enough to be able to start a business on my own and have my own business. But I know I'm not the type of person that likes to sit down and do paperwork, and I like to sit down and do all of these things that would be required for me to actually run a business. And so that's why I personally enjoy working a 9-to-5 job, because I don't have to be the person that does that. My boss or whoever else, somebody that got to go sit down at the desk and do all that paperwork and all that other stuff, while I get to enjoy doing the actual work of being able to see people and talk to people and then enjoy the particular job.
Definitely.
To add on to that, we're living in a generation now where they literally give zero fucks at all. They would just be calling and be sitting there with the outfit on. Like, it gets crazy when it comes to, like, you gotta have patience, and you have to have, like dignity in your work, to come behind your work ethic when it comes to, like, this generation that we have here. I mean, like, it's so many scammers, it's a whole lot with this generation, and they don't care. Like, they will sit there and tell you that they, this really they charge, and now it's like, you're a small business, now where does that money go?
Mm-hmm.
And don't be like, no,
and
it's like $20. They be distributing, like, $300 worth of stuff.
And I think a lot of people don't really understand the actual difference between a entrepreneur, and I don't know what's the word for it, but I'll say like a, I'll just call it an at-will worker. I'll say it like that. Because like a lot of people think that like content creating and OnlyFans and different things like that are forms of entrepreneurship. But it's actually not, because even if you are doing like content on OnlyFans, TikTok, Facebook, or however, part of the money that you're making is going to the particular company, so you're not really bringing in your own type of funds exactly. It's like you're getting paid from that particular company, so it's not really entrepreneurship, per se. And so I think that a lot of the conversation is not really, I don't want to call people dumb, but I feel like a lot of people don't really understand what entrepreneurship really means. I mean, like, there are people out here who have businesses and different things like that, but there are also people who do content creating and different things like that, and they consider that to be entrepreneurship, if y'all get what I'm saying.
I think it's the fact that people want to make money quick. Like, they feel like, oh, if I go out here and do this, you know, I'm going to be making buttloads of money. But it's like, you got to build that up. You know, you're not just going to step your foot out the door and $1 million just sitting there at your foot. Like, you're not, you know, it's not going to work like that. And I feel like that's what most people see. Like, if I just start doing this, I'm making money. You know, they don't have, like, I don't want to mispronounce your name. Nikesia?
That's fine.
I'm sorry. But like she was saying, you know, they have no work ethic. There's, like, no type of work ethic experience. Like, they feel like I shouldn't have to listen to nobody. And don't get me wrong, you know, I wake up every morning for work, you know, and I'd be like, look, I'm about to quit my job and trust in the Lord, because I don't have time. But, you know,
this me every other day.
So I still get up and do it, because, you know, there's stuff that I know that I want to do, and to get to where I need to be, I have to, like, you know, step these little couple steps. I have to work this job. I have to do this to get to where I need to be. But most people are trying to skip those 6 steps, however many steps it is, and just go to the end goal. And that's not how life works, but they're thinking that it works like that.
Also, TikTok has them fooled. Honey, you can't be sitting behind a desk all day and think you're going to come back home with like $1,000. No, baby. $1,000 is going to be taxed. Little John finna get his. Kobe's finna get his. And the brat probably get hers, too. Like, it's not.
Yeah, and that's why I said a lot of people don't understand understand the difference between, like, you know, the content creating and all of that other stuff versus real actual entrepreneurship.
Yeah, you actually have to put out a lot of content just to even make what you want to make. You have to literally put out so much content just to make $3. Like, it's not as easy as, you know, like Nikki said, they have you fooled. They're not buttloads of money.
I don't mind telling my little business. And so, with this podcast, I do get monetization from my podcast. And I have literally been podcasting since the summer of 2020. And at one point, like, the highest amount of streamings and view listeners I had was around about, like, 3,000. And there would be, like, 3,000 people per episode. And literally all I would make from those episodes would be, like, $5. And I'm like, I done did all this work editing. I done put all this stuff together, and all the platform is giving me is $5, and I got, like, 3,000 people listening to my episodes. And so I definitely like, people who do content creating and different things like that, I have nothing against people, but it's definitely a job, per se, versus, you know, entrepreneurship where, you know, some days you may be able to go to work and some days you may be able to just say, I'm going to lay in the bed and, you know, let my employees handle it, or, you know, just let whatever residuals I have handle it or whatever. Versus when you're doing content creating, like I said, you have to, it's like a job. You literally got to wake up every day and be working to make your money. And so it's really not necessarily entrepreneurship per se.
And then that goes back. With a 9-to-5, you guaranteed that money. If they say on their contract you're making $14 an hour, you're going to make that $14 an hour from that 9-to-5. With this content creating, like, you got, like, you're not guaranteed 2 million people going to watch your video for you to make $3. That one video may not just be hidden. I mean, I just see this pregnant lady on my For You page. I know 5 times a day. Like, I really want to ask her what she making. Because she got better knees than me, and I'm 21. But still, like, it's going to take, like, you still not guaranteed that everybody going to see her video, even though she's constantly on your timeline. And then you never know also what they're taking out for you to even make that. They can say you're going to make 200 every million views, but what's getting taxed out of that 200 million views? So then they're going to be like, how can we prove that these 200 million views are legit reviews and not robots? Now they're taking out of that because you may have robots that you're paying to watch the video over and over again.
Yeah, it's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah.
That's why I love the content creators who are, like, honest, like, this is not my 9-to-5 job, you know? This is not how I make my money. I don't even really make money from that. You know, I just love those type of people who say that because they're being honest. And, like, Rob, I love when you be honest because it's true, you know? You're just not going to make $1 million. Let me go put out this one video. I'm going to make $1 million. No, you're not.
And it's also not for everybody, and that's the reason why, like I said, when we first started this topic, I feel like, you know, a lot of different things are just not for people. And so a lot of people aren't meant to go be entrepreneurs or, you know, TikTokers or content creators or whatever. A lot of people it's just not their thing. So it's like, for some people, like, I love TikTok, and at nighttime I go to bed watching TikTok. And so, like, there are some people that I pass by on TikTok, and I'm like, how you get so many followers? Because you're just not interesting. Like the content that you put out is not interesting. And so, like, I wonder how these people how they feel like they could make money off of these platforms. It's like, you know, you're not really even interesting enough to, like, really elevate to that point. And so, that's why I feel like, you know, it's really a personal decision for people to make. It's like you have to weigh all of the options that, you know, if you go into this, you definitely got to make sure, you know, you have your backup plan, as in, okay, if I'm going to go into entrepreneurship, if my business don't succeed the first year, am I going to stay into this or am I going to go find me a job and go back to work? you know, you definitely have to understand that and have to be willing to weigh that. And so that's my thoughts on it. And I definitely from like I get it. Like, I really get it. Like Kieran said, there are a lot of people in this particular, Kieran and Keisha both said it. I definitely feel like there are a lot of people in this generation that just want the quick money and feel like, you know, they can become a millionaire, or some people don't even want to become a millionaire. Some people just want to be a good thousandaire and have six figures, and that's fine as well. but it definitely doesn't come overnight, particularly when it comes down to entrepreneurship, because I know people, for instance, my sister, she's a Lash Tech, and so she started her business from the ground up, and she recently, over the last year or so, just started making good enough money to be able to stop her, you know, going to her 9-to-5, because at first she was a nurse, and, you know, it was bringing in good money for her, but it just wasn't what she was passionate about. And so I'll say over the last year or so, she was able to quit her 9-to-5 and go full time into being a Lash Tech, because she was building up clientele. People started to know her work, and her clients became like residual income for her. So it was like, okay, I know I'm going to have these clients every month type thing. So if she was able to quit her 9-to-5 and go full time into that. And not everybody is able to have the mindset to stick it out or to be able to find something that will bring them that type of energy to be able to enjoy the work that they're doing, pretty much. Like I feel like in Greenwood in particular, and I'm pretty sure both of y'all noticed this. Like, in Greenwood, there are so many people who want to start clothing brands. Yeah. And for me, like I said, I don't knock nobody, and I'm not talking about nobody. But it's like, some of the clothing brands, it's like, it's not interesting. Like, I get it, you want to be an entrepreneur and stuff, but it's like, the T-shirts and the hoodies and different things that you're putting out is just not interesting enough for a lot of people to actually want to buy it. And so
I feel like people are getting a false sense of of self and reality, and I think social media plays like a huge part in that, because people don't know who they are and what they want to do. They just see other people doing it, and they're just like, okay, let me do it. I see that, you know, quotes around them being this, like, I just see them being, making this type of money and being successful, so I can do it too. Let me hop on this train while I still smoking, and let me just do what they're doing, and maybe I can get and be and do whatever it is that they're doing. But it's like, you don't know, like, I'm not, like you said, not knocking nobody, it's just that you're basically doing the same thing that he's doing, but you're taking the picture off and putting like another picture that's basically the exact same thing. And you know like, not knocking anybody's business or anything like that, but it's like, do you know who you are outside of wanting to be what social media is telling you to be and what people are portraying themselves to be on social media? Is this really what you want to do, or is it just like a cash grab? That makes sense.
Yes, that makes so much sense. Also, I believe social media has become like a chokehold to this generation now, to where they feel like they have to live the life by social media. I work for a company called Team Health, where a part of their group is like focusing on mental health with kids and teens. And you'll be amazed by some of the stories that you hear on like what they do. Like, they get home straight from school and they're checking social media. If they're not already at school, checking social media. Like, they live by social media. Now, I'm not going to say like I'm just perfect, like where I don't, you know, scroll on social media sometimes and, you know.
Yeah, I was about to say, I ain't going to lie, man. I do wake up and get on Facebook.
I ain't going to lie. Like, I ain't been a couple shots at my boyfriend, you know. I'd be like, hey, he
give her flowers. I ain't got no flowers yet, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't got a teddy bear or nothing. But still, like, they like, social media is their life, like, where they feel like, you know, like, school ain't even important no more. It's like social media, like, 24/7. And then it gets to the point where they're posting literally their everything from their life to their body to, like, it's becoming offensive to them. Like, it's becoming them.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, not perfect, because I love me a good, you know, so I like to, you know, go in there and see what's going on. But, you know, it's like you said, I work in mental health, and the kids I talk to, the groups I, you know, all that stuff, all the therapy I provide, you hear these kids talking about an image they have to uphold. But, baby, you're like 12. You know what I'm saying? Like, social media shouldn't be having that much of a touch on you to where you're like, I have this image to uphold. What image? It's a child, you know.
It's like 12. Do you know what color pencils are yet? Like, do you know how to change your pad? And you thinking that you're supposed to be, like, suited up in a
like, I gotta get these new shoes. Come on, I gotta go get these
shoes. They be feeling like they gotta have a whole. Yeah, it's like social media just make them feel like they have. Like, I've noticed that, like, social media make a lot of them feel like they have to grow up quickly. It's like, you know, they 18 and you feel like you gotta have an apartment, you gotta have your finances in order, which is, you do, but also you're young. I mean, they're going to be growing pains. You're not going to make it there overnight. And I feel like social media definitely pushes a lot of young people. Like, even with the post that, like, I seen, there were people in the comment section like, yeah, people lost in the South. Entrepreneurship is the move. And I'm like, okay. I was like, okay, but some of y'all entrepreneurs still broke, and I'm confused. some of y'all still broke. So it's like, I understand, you know, you don't want to work for nobody, but you still broke.
And I hate the posts that be like, I'm 18, I'm living on my own, you're 22, you're still living with your parents. Okay. Like, I can't afford to, you know, not saying that I live with my parents or anything, but there's nothing wrong with it. But, like, okay, I can't afford to live on my own at the moment. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have whatever you have to get to where you are, and I congratulate you for that, you know. But don't make somebody else feel bad because they're working 9-to-5 still trying to get their life together and they're living with their parents. Like, they don't have to just have it all figured out. We're not making $1 million a year. Sorry.
And I mean, sometimes people, like, even like with that, you know, sometimes there are families who set their children up for that. Like, you know, I'm going to make sure that your credit is good before you leave my house. I'm going to make sure that you are able to, whenever you finally do leave my house, I'm going to make sure you're able to go get all the things that you need without my help. Mm-hmm. And so, like, even when I see people posting stuff like that, it's like, okay, like, I mean, I get what you're saying, but at the same time.
That is truly a big problem within this generation that I feel like isn't going to be a simple fix. Because they have it in their heads that, like that's normal. Like, they need to be out of the house at 18 in an apartment. And don't even know the struggle's going to be real. Just like you light bills now. Like, I seen somebody light bill today, $800. Like, baby, you by yourself at 18.
Oh, baby, if my light bill ever get $800, I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to sleep in the dark.
They just got started to the game. No, ma'am.
I'm just going to sleep in the dark because no, ma'am. I've even seen posts on social media where it's like, I've seen a post one time where they were like, the post was like, these were the best days of your, you know, of my life, and I really wish I could go back. And it was like a picture of a high school. And I remember I seen a girl share it and was like, well, no, I don't ever want to go back to high school. And I'm like, girl, you just don't know. I'm like, I would kill to have a free meal every day Like, I can go see my friends every day. I ain't got to worry about paying no bills. You know, I get a little allowance from my mama. So, I would kill for those days.
I love to walk away and eat one more good time. Because, like, at this point in time, it's just like in college, you got to have everything figured out. In high school, you got everything aligned for you. You know what class you're going to take. You know who you're taking them with. And now you're thrown out into this world, and it's just like, yeah, baby, you're going to have to do what you got to do now.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Something happened with my phone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but pretty much this. Okay, I'm sorry. My bad. You can go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know if y'all had said because my phone had cut out. But, like, I was going to say about how I seen this post, and it said when your parents was like, you're going to see when you get older. And I'm definitely seeing it because bills be billing. And it's just, look, if I can go back and just stay with my mama and not have any type of bills, I would definitely keep life. Because bills do not stop coming.
And yeah, like.
People think that I'm finna go out here and I'm finna just do this, and that. Baby, I don't know how I accumulate. It's like once you just live on your own, you just accumulate bills and you just trying to figure out where they come from. It's just like you got this bill.
I think it's mostly because, like, you know, at our age, we just feel like we have most people our age come out of, you know, living with their parents with a decent credit score. And so it's like we feel like, oh, well, we can get everything. And so, like, for me, I know on my end, when I first got on my own, I just started buying stuff. I'm like, oh, well, I want this washer and dryer. Let me go see if I can get that. And then I got a bill. And then I'm like, oh, well, you know, I really like this cell phone, so I'm going to go ahead and upgrade to it. And then now I got an extra $40 on my bill every month. And so it's like stuff like that, we don't really notice it until, like, multiple bills start piling up, and then it's like, oh, crap, now I have a lot of bills.
Mm-hmm. That cell phone bill is something serious. So I could have sworn I don't know how I'm paying $150 for a phone bill. Like,
baby, she's probably going to knock my mouth out every month.
And I feel like that's, you know, like that's how it is. Like me personally, even like putting, you know, things back into perspective, like the whole social media and, you know, entrepreneurship conversation. Like me personally, I'm one of those. I have an iPhone and I love Apple. But every year Apple come out with a new phone, and I'm not updating my phone every time they come out with a new phone. And so I'm gonna ride my phone till the wheels fall off. And so, like, I feel like even, like, with that, like, with social media, kids see the new iPhone, it's like, oh, well, you know, all the popular kids got, you know, the new iPhone, so I feel like I got to go get it, too.
I feel like once you get older, it becomes, like, the least of your worries. Because I, you know, I used to be like that, I need to get this phone, I need to be this, is that. But when you get up and you start having to get your own phone and stuff, you're like, baby, that phone can wait. It's the exact same phone I got now. It's just another number.
It's just another number, dang, another button, put another camera on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have the iPhone 11, and until Apple stops giving me all the updates on this phone, I'm going to ride it till I can't ride with it no more. Like, we gonna ride with it until Apple be like, well, we no longer going to update that phone. And then I'm like, all right, then I guess I'm going to update.
Look, you got a while to go, updates to the 6s and the 7s, so you still got a long time to go.
You got a good time. You got a good amount.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, they're so expensive, and like I said, like I feel like a lot of people who are our age and younger, they feel like, you know, because social media, like, I've seen posts on Facebook where people are like, oh, y'all still rocking them old iPhone 9s, and y'all still on the iPhone 10, you know, the iPhone 8, and y'all still using these phones where y'all gotta use your fingerprints. So I've seen those type of posts, and now, granted, I like some now. I do feel like, you know, you got an iPhone 8, you might need to come on and upgrade, because, like, but at the same time, I'm not knocking nobody. I mean, it is what it is. Like, that's what you want, that's what you want. And I feel like sometimes a lot of people take posts that they see on social media and different things like that. Like, they might see a post like that, and then they might get in their feelings or get depressed or whatever and feel like, oh, well, I got to go get it because the people on social media said it. And so that kind of plays a lot into it, like even with the conversation with entrepreneurship, that particular post and seeing so many people in the comment section like, oh, yeah, you right, I need to go and quit my job and go ahead and get into start my business and be an entrepreneur. And just like seeing how quickly that post influenced so many people in the comment section was just weird to me. But that's all I have that's all I have on that particular topic, and I definitely enjoyed this conversation with y'all today. Do y'all have any final comments on anything?
No, I just really enjoyed the conversation. You're doing great. You're popping.
I enjoy finally being able to get on this call, because like last time he told me like an hour before. And that topic was really for me, so we're going to try again. I enjoy
it. And I'm definitely going to be talking about it again. For me personally, like I said, I'm definitely getting more into my podcasting now. When I first started, I was terrible as far as, like, the consistency of releasing my episodes and stuff, but now I'm being more consistent because I actually like doing it. At first, I was just doing it because, like I said, I was into politics and activism and community work and stuff, and so I would just, like, release episodes at random, but now I've gotten more consistent, so I'm trying to work on that. So the next time I want to invite you on the episode, I definitely will be reaching out ahead of time. Simply because, like I said, I'm trying to work on being more consistent and having more guests on and doing things in a better, more professional way.
Don't leave me out that number, because I feel how she feels. Because I was like, oh, it's a topic that I really want to talk about.
Most definitely. So yeah, I thank you guys for joining me and hopping on today's episode. For a guest, thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of the Unspeakable Politics Podcast with Robert Wilson Jr. Check out all of my previous episodes on Apple, Google, and Spotify at the Unspeakable Politics Podcast. You can also chat with me on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook at R.E. Wilson. And you can check out the podcast on social media as well at the Unspeakable _ Pod. Love you. That'll be it for today's episode, so we're out.